of a significant increase in funding, which is great. WPU went up about 4%, which is significant. And again, that WPU affects that first line item on state revenue on the next page, the regular school program K through 12. You'll see there that this year we had an increase of our budget of about 54,000 because they funded us on 508 students despite our cap, which was great news.
Do we know if they did that for all the similarly situated
cities? Yes. Yeah, they did. And this next year, it's a lot more clear what will happen. We can fund it 103% of our cap.
A quick notifying interject before I lose that.
Sure.
Speaking of the Board of Education, and we were there a couple months ago on that issue. We haven't heard anything more on that, have we?
No, they decided that they would not take any action at all. Just they were going to send an email to everybody that we could not enroll more than the cap. But now they came out with a new rule that you can enroll up to 103% of the cap. 103%.
Any more than that, you have to submit a request, a special request.
Okay. And lastly, I saw the board in the newspaper last night, but I didn't read the article. There was some deep doo-doo for something.
Dual immersion manager. There were some issues. They did an audit and found about $750,000 that were not spent according to budget.
Any potential indirect down-the-stream consequences for us?
None whatsoever. We do not receive any dual immersion funding.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Good questions. So overall, the picture is very good. Looking into next year, we're going to have additional funding due to the increase of WPU and local replacement. But as always, we'll budget conservatively on the revenue and expense front. But as I said, that we'll be working on that.
And we will not get any additional funding because they did fund us at 508.
Yes.
So we will be funded probably at about 515, so only 7 students more than we were funded last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for what I do on that line item there, which is the majority of state funding, that K through 12 line item, I start by budgeting on what we had last year. So I'll budget that at 508 to start, which is what they budgeted us at last year, just to be conservative. And of course, there's a growth factor as well. There was last year, and we expect there to be this year. What that is exactly, we don't know yet. But in any case, with the increase in the WPU, even with zero growth factor, we're still 50 to 60 grand over what we received this year. So it's good news. I won't go into too much detail on the detail pages, but please take a look, you know, at where we are relative to the budget in that second to last column there, FY17 forecast. You'll see the percentages at the bottom right of each section. I encourage you to take a look there and see what makes up that graph on the top left of the front page. And again, if you have any questions on those, please let me know. There's not anything really to point out that you haven't seen or you didn't see last month. Again, if you have questions, let me know. Any questions as far as this meeting goes, anybody might have?
I do have a comment.
Yeah.
So I just want to note in the minutes that we had a training meeting that Steve Wininski helped us. Me as a new treasurer person, and two other of our board members, Janet and Cody, both attended with DiMocchio and Brian, and that we held that today to give us support and understanding moving forward as new members to the budget committee. And then we also, all of us attended the business meeting prior to this meeting. And I just want that noted that that training did occur. Very good training.
Good. Terrific. Okay. Thank you, Brian. And if you need to scoot, we understand.
Okay.
If not, you're always welcome to stay.
Yeah. I've got a couple minutes. I'll hang out for a couple minutes.
Okay. Next, we're going to jump to the minutes. I think most of us had a chance to review those. Thanks for taking a second swipe and polishing those up. The only thing I noticed is down the bottom, and this is not a worth noting or anything, but just an FYI, it's the JAMA research policy at the bottom, first page. It's an acronym that stands for Governmental Research Access and Management Act. It's the equivalent of a federal FOIA request, and you knew that probably just a typo.
Yeah, there's an R in there.
Yeah, is it research or is it records?
And Steve has listed twice.
No.
But I think this might be the old one before I send out because of this. I'm surprised it didn't print in red.
Okay.
Typically what I do is I take the minutes from the month before, I change everything to red, and then as I take new minutes, it goes back to black, and I know I'm good.
I got you.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Anyone care to make a motion to approve the minutes?
The date on the minutes, the top, mine says November 15th.
Oh.
So we should revise that to February, right? This was a February meeting?
Yeah, and I'll pull it up. Oh. I'd pull was it up it? Normally right now, but
March?
I think it was March, Steve.
What is this?
February,
oh,
we didn't meet.
Right. I'm sorry.
We didn't meet in February.
I'm an old guy. I forgot which month we are. Okay. So Mark, whatever. It should be March. So, yeah. I move to approve the minutes with the correction of March. What date would that have been?
20-something.
The other thing that needs to be added that isn't on here that I changed two
and
weeks
grandma.
Ago was the motion to include Angela and Maria.
Oh, that's right.
So March 20th, was it a Thursday?
14 and 15 or something.
Was it a 23rd?
And that's not on this paper, but I think it is updated on the Google.
Yeah. Should have been March 23rd.
March 23rd. I remember,
So 2017. To look at the Google Doc and revise it if necessary on the one thing will be done prior to or now based on your motion, I would say.
Okay, so do we get all those corrections? So it's change the date to March 23rd, 2017, change gamma to grandma, and add...
The two motions for members.
Okay.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passed. Next item on our agenda is school policies. Let's defer that till a little further down when we get to the committees, because I think it fits better there. With respect to a vote to expand the board from 8 to 11 members, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but is that a legacy that we took care of last time?
Yes.
I thought that was on the minutes. Is that on the minutes?
And that's the motions that are left off.
Oh, that right. Yes, that's right. That's the one that Cody was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that one was
done.
Yeah, we did that last night.
We did that. Let's leave that off then. And I'm going to make a supplement to the motion that the revised minutes also include a reference to the motions made at the March 23rd meeting. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Oh, the motion approved as amended. Next item is signing the conflict of interest policy. Most of us that were here, I think all of us that were here last time already signed that, mm-hmm. but some of us may not have been. Deborah, you were here.
I was here.
Last
okay,
time.
So you signed it?
I signed it. Yeah.
I remember who I because I just scanned it last night.
Hi.
And I remember.
Hello.
Because I put it in my screen. I have Juan.
You're good.
No, that's okay.
I have mine, I have Patricia's, and I have Steve's.
You know what? There was a couple that he mentioned. Yeah. I don't remember which ones. The conflict of interest form, did you sign it?
I signed everything that you sent me.
Okay.
I think.
This was at the board meeting last time?
Oh, I didn't. So if you have one here.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I can definitely do that.
I do have one here.
Okay.
Good.
But you know what? It's my only clean copy.
We can get a copy. I'll go get a copy.
Okay.
Do you have one? Do you have the copy to get
a
copy?
Yeah, I do.
So we don't have to look for the other one.
Yeah. Give me 10 seconds. While I keep going, can I just ask you to thumb through those and
Get
the clean one and then put the clean one
back where it was, exactly.
Thank you. Okay, our next item on our agenda is, and this is one I need some help with. This one didn't connect in my head. Record the research projects approved online.
Kept that because we did that last time.
I think that's not tonight's agenda.
Juan sent me the wrong agenda. Well, give me the right one. We have another topic.
Here, we'll use that one for now.
There you go.
Thanks, Janet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad we followed up on a couple of these items.
That was helpful, though.
That's
right.
I'll try to merge these to make sure we don't miss anything. With that, you know what I'm going to do? Let's see. Okay, let me take a minute.
So just one note is that Cody needs to count everybody who's here, and he's not sure on all the names or on the numbers. So if maybe just say
who was honest with the phone last time?
Me.
Maria is
I'm just
the one right
in the middle. How'd you like? I forgot your last name, I'm sorry.
Zamora.
Zamora.
With a Z.
So I type in that number first, the whole thing, okay?
And then this
one. Okay. And then just make just one?
Yeah, we make five.
Okay.
We have extra.
So, as we discussed at our retreat, we've got a couple of new awesome committees, governance committee, finance committee, academic committee, and cultural committee. I need a little refresher. Yet, once upon a time, did we, in lieu of the cultural committee, instead break that down into a personnel, an activity, or is that just a thought that somebody had? Because I noted when I looked through our collection of policies, they seem to be organized under four different headings: governance, finance, not surprising, academic, and then instead of cultural, it goes to personnel and students, parents. Students and parents. So that must have been this must have been an artifact from the early on pre-retreat.
Maybe for another school that had a different vision because we needed
this
a cultural.
This was our end product, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was it.
And the cultural committee is chaired by.
It was undecided as of last month.
Okay. Academic chaired by.
Janet.
Finance by
Patricia.
And governance by Marty. Okay, so let me, if I can, let's just do a quick rotation here to provide any updates that any of us might have. Let me start, if I can. On the governance side, there were a couple of different bullets that we wanted to focus on. The priority item, though, was to make sure that the policies we've adopted cover the full range that are required by the state. And then once we get past that first priority, then we'll indulge in the luxury of evaluating and adopting any recommended policies that we think are advisable for ourselves. We won't feel necessarily compelled to take those on, but we'll look at them on an as-needed basis. So I've gone through the UAPCS list of recommended. It's not their list of recommended, but it's their summary of the state-required
policies, and I've noted that there are several that are not in our list. And let me, if I can, just bark those out real quick to see if I'm mistaken, or if anybody has any reason to think we shouldn't at least explore the possibility of adopting a policy before I spend a ton of time creating one. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, I'm scratching my head a little bit looking for where that is.
So these are all for the trainings and policy listings that the state puts out. They're focus points for a government's responsibilities.
This is UAPC's list of policies, two different lists. One list of what it considers to be required under a state statute that we're required to have. And then there's another list of additional policies that they recommend charter schools consider. And so,
it says account, track, account name,
the short
password.
Version of the,
putting this
there
one
are
on
about
account,
five that, that
name.
Under the governance section that we don't have that are required. And I wanted to get any input from anybody as to what may have been our thinking in not adopting these.
Well, the only thing I'm worried about is that we wrote our policies when the state was still determining and updating what the requirements were. So there is a possibility that when we wrote our charter, some of the items that you're talking about, we didn't address because they hadn't quite finished their focus points in the documents they were creating.
So I'm thinking, taking on the next step, when the state board was deciding what they were going to require in terms of policies?
They were actually adopting their policies as people were already writing charters. And a number of times, the requirements for the board, as far as our role and responsibilities and our training parts to it, changed, and they created modules. And they were writing stuff in there that when we brought the charter, it was like, what? I remember the chart. Janet and I went to different meetings that were also required for in-person meetings, and the things they would bring up, we were like, what? This is new. They didn't have this with all the materials that Barbara and I and Janet were going through and Steve, and it was put in later in their training modules. And likely, some of these could have been a result of, as they were developing things, they became more...
late add-ins?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just identify, we're not going to go through them at length, but I want to at least rattle them off and see if there's any reason why we shouldn't I should, as a chair of the governance group, roll my sleeves and ascertain whether and try to create a draft for us to further consider. One is a fee waiver policy, the requirements for school fees, which must be adopted annually. Okay.
So we just need to adopt a policy that says we do not have fees, because we do not have any fees of any kind.
And
so the policy probably will be Esperanza Elementary School has no fees.
By definition, because we're elementary, not secondary, do we have
that's
a
correct.
Policy or not?
Yes. I Unless don't know. If it's necessary, that's what we need to do. Otherwise, elementary schools do not have any fees by law.
It's in the Constitution.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
And it seems silly to create a whole policy and adopt it just for that purpose. Let's go through some of these others and see if there's a collection of policies that don't apply, and we can batch them in one sort of a non-applicable policy and list them all out. The next one is food sold on school grounds.
So that one does need a policy, because we, even though we do not provide school lunch, we have a vendor that does and receives money, federal funds, to provide that food. And so the policy has to say that we will not compete with a school food program. That's what it's required.
Okay. Next one is school emergency response.
We do have a school emergency response plan, and so we probably just need to adopt the policy that says that we have it, and if we need to include it as part of the application, then we can do that.
What do you mean as part of the
application? As part of the charter.
Part of the new policy?
Yeah, part of the new policy.
Okay. Next one is policy regarding student clubs to define rules for student expression and freedoms.
We don't have a policy.
So I'll just make a note that we need it, and I imagine that there are already some nice sample drafts out there.
Yeah,
we
can get some
part that I can get those.
Currently, we don't have a lot of clubs. I know we have the chess club, correct?
We have the chess club, the principal's club, the music club, the choir.
Chess, music, choir, and what?
Principal's club.
By the way, that picture on the website of you giving someone an award, that's adorable. What was the award for?
I'm trying to think because I put several on there.
Oh, it's a little...
I was meeting with the kids. I was giving the kids...
Little girl with dark hair.
Yeah, those are student of the month. Everyone of them is with dark hair. But when we give...
Little girl with dark hair.
Yeah, I go to every classroom once a month and give the student of the month award to every child.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay. Next one, discrimination policy. Outline specific types of discrimination prohibited in public schools.
Isn't it on the application? I thought it was part of the original charter. Did you look to see if we had it?
No, I looked on our list, a compilation of
policies.
Of policies. You think that might be incomplete? That compilation may be incomplete?
I don't know.
No, it's written in different areas, but I don't know that we ever adopted
a policy, a separate policy.
Specific policy for that.
We had to address it in our different writings in the charter, but we never were told we had to have a specific policy.
Okay.
But there is the state policies on that. And so I guess we were never told we had to have a separate one for our school.
Okay, I'll look through the charter, see if there's some stuff I can pluck out of there. I'll get online and see if I can borrow a model policy from someone else.
And Brian can get us samples from other schools. He works with 23 schools, or the company.
We don't need to reinvent the wheel here.
Right. That's a terrific resource.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'll hustle here. Discrimination, we got that one. Disposal of tile. Okay, now we're getting into the finance area. Pat, is it worthwhile to continue through this? You want to look at this?
You can send me the list of what would be applicable to finance, and we can talk about it at our finance.
Is it disposal of what?
There are a couple of them. I'm going to give you. I've got a second list here. You can see where finance starts. It goes for a couple pages. I'll just give this to you. I'll rattle them off though, for what it's worth.
And there is a rather long finance policy that we have.
This is calling for it, and it may be the policy we have already incorporates part of it. This policy. So you can see there, Pat, the first one is disposal of textbooks in public school policy. Second one is fiscal accountability. Third, and that's it. And then, Janet, the only one that we apparently need but don't have in the academic realm is assessment of student achievement.
Where should she sign? Because she doesn't want to sign there or there.
That page out of yours that has academic and
director. Okay. Okay.
And I am
really
voting number eight.
What we need from the finance area.
Yeah,
and we'll just give that to Janet.
Okay.
And my thought is here, after we've digested this a little bit, then if we feel like we need some of these required policies, we probably do, then the respective chairs of the respective committees can either recruit somebody or a relative his or her sleeves and come up with a model to recommend to the group at the next board meeting. Make sense?
Yeah.
If you need...
Brian's a resource.
Brian is a resource. Just let me know and I'll send me an email and say, I need a model of this policy. Then I can either get Brian to give me a copy, or I can reach out to other directors.
You know, I think that's going to give us plenty of homework between now and next board meeting. But let's make a note in the minutes that there are a number of other reportedly required policies under different umbrellas, such as personnel and students, that we need to look at as well, such as, you know, breastfeeding policy, employee harassment policy, reporting arrests, substitute teachers. There's about 10 of them, so that's a handful. Let's not bite off more than we can chew this month.
Right.
We'll call that a good start if we can make some progress.
Okay.
Interestingly, some of those that you just mentioned could fit under the cultural umbrella. The school planner?
Could.
Because the breastfeeding, having a place where a teacher could go, or a place to pump, those are all the culture and environment.
And we may have some teachers needing that breastfeeding place next year, because we had 5 pregnant employees.
Really? Wow. Oh yeah, I know Marcela.
Iliana? Did you know Iliana? Iliana and the
Marcela, me and Juan.
The TA that just that left.
Yeah.
Okay. And she already had the baby.
And a board, oh,
Sophia. And I thought there was one more.
And so again, those other categories of policies are
water.
Personnel and students. Okay. Yeah, that's probably where they do naturally fit. Okay. Second item, unless any of the committee chairs want to talk about any policy issues anymore or any other issues. Pat, you want to do a quick report on your pre-board meeting?
Meeting?
Finance committee meeting? Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, we had training. We all went through some artifacts that Steve had prepared to focus on specific things that will help us as we continue our work. We also have a good understanding of what's already going on with the finance committee and how they do hold weekly meetings, and also really work hard at the end of the year for the projections for the next year. And the
financial projections?
Yes. And the creating of the actual projections that we use to make sure our finances are going in the right direction for the entire school, coming school year. So it was a very productive meeting, and I understand the role and responsibilities as the chair and making sure that we have representation at the weekly meeting, which I'm going to try to my best to do, as well as to be able to answer any questions that board members may have from those weekly meetings, and support both people, Gil and Brian, in their work and making sure that we're on target with our budgets.
Okay. On the fundraising bullet, I see under finance, talks about do we have any fundraising aspirations beyond what our PTO is doing? Or is that...
We didn't talk about any at our finance meeting. It is the PTO that seems to be generating the most funds for the school. It would be outside of what we get from our money from the state and federal area.
I guess that's true of my need. And if we're as comfortable as Brian suggests, let's devote our energies elsewhere.
Well, I think, you know, the DWS, after school,
the grants, yeah.
That's a fundraiser, I would think, and besides some other things that Julia's done.
Yeah, we do have some grants that we've written and continue to write. The kindergarten funding was one, and then the DWS. And we're always looking at grant monies because they're easier. And so I think at this point, Julia writes most of the grants, and so I think we're
and
pretty good.
I guess in my mind, I was kind of thinking of that still often looking at what the state has to offer for you to apply for versus the donations from private sources that the PTO generates, like the restaurant. thing that they did and those kinds of things. I do want to say that we had a good discussion on how all that money in that area is handled and the provisions that have been taken at our school to make sure that that money is handled correctly, and that there has been specific training to the staff from Hawaii in those areas. So we're set pretty good, and they're holding very closely to the guidelines that have been set up by Red Apple. Make sure that we don't have unnecessary
amounts
in our system here at school.
Just so you know, we do. We have to attend 2 yearly meetings at the state office that talk about specifically how to manage money and any changes in the law. So we have one in the fall and one in the spring. We just attended the spring one, and they emphasize how we handle money. We cannot take cash and spend it as cash. We have to take cash, put it in the bank, and then spend it through POs, purchase orders, credit card, or checks. There has to be a paper trail.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they have specific guidelines. Cash cannot be in the building for more than 72 hours. You know, you have to deposit those kinds of things. And Brian, every year, at the beginning of the year, does a training with the PTO, especially the people that manage, that handle a lot of the cash, and with Crystal and Paula, to make sure that we all know the guidelines.
And the budget that is prepared by Brian, the line items are very clear. If any member who has any questions about how the money is done, recorded, could ask them, and we would be happy as a finance committee to come up with answers.
Okay, great. Let's keep moving. Janet, any highlights from this?
Yeah, just a couple of highlights. One, everyone who works in the school is on the academic committee. Really, everyone is working towards the academic success. We're a board, and our committee is just a board committee. We have no intention, no interest in trying to make recommendations, suggestions, give direction. That's not our place. We're a governing board. We don't, however, want to be an invisible entity. So we're trying to kind of decide exactly what our place is in all the training I've gone to as a board member. We're encouraged to not be invisible, to be familiar so that the teachers are familiar with us, the administration is familiar with us, the students, the faculty, anyway. So we're just trying to kind of determine what our role is as an academic committee. Obviously, we get our reports every month. We see test scores. Is that all we need? I think we need to try to do a little bit more in the visibility portion and have the those who work on academics in this school know that we're also on board. We know what the goals are for the school and find some way to interface with either teacher leaders, assistant principal, principal, just so that we're all working together. And
just to interject, one of the really interesting and aha for me to get to finance was that as a committee, we want knowledge. We want to know if someone outside, a board member from another school, comes to us and says, you know, tell me about where you're at in your budget. It's like I know the actuals, and I can kind of say, oh, we're here and you're there, and it's just, or if a state person asks me. But I also know what the projections are, the fiscal projections for what's going to be happening in the future. To me, that would be the same for the academic committee, that they should know where we're at in academic areas and what programs and curriculum, what's happening there, even if it's just through a reporting process, and then also what the future suggestions are for that. So that's kind of how I see it. I'm not sure how Janet sees it, but I think that that's a good way to think.
Yeah, and, you know, I was kind of contemplating all this, and I read through the responsibilities of board members, and the only thing I could find that really pertained to academic committee was how we can support the director and with school leader determine annual measurable goals, monitor progress, and support school leader in achieving goals. That's our role, and I think that pertains particularly, yeah, particularly for the academic committee, because like I said, this is all about academics in the long run. I mean, yeah, there's finance and there's cultural and everything, but it's really all about finance. So like I said, we don't want to be making, saying, well, here's where we are, why don't you try this, or why don't you, no, we don't do that. Even a retired educator knows better than to do that. So we want to make sure that we're supportive, that we have the knowledge, and that we're not invisible. That's kind of what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay. In that regard, this isn't an academic committee task or obligation. I'm going to take the lead on it, but I'm going to beg some help from you, not right now, but in the coming weeks, with respect to our charter fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did this last year, I presume. I don't know. Does it ring a bell? Look familiar?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Are you involved in that, Pat?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me, before I waste a lot of time spinning my wheels, what's going to be the most efficient way for me to assess and respond to these inquiries? Who am I going to want to be meeting with to have the adequate information to respond to these questions?
I think definitely Eulogio won as the board chair this year. And those two sources particularly reach out to anybody else that might have any additional expertise.
This is a paper that I prepared for the board. This is in response to the state asking us, of the 40 some odd goals that you set for yourselves, which ones are you really working on? Mm-hmm. And so I responded in this way to the board, to our board, and said, this is the green ones are the ones we're actively pursuing. The other ones, some of them, for example, the tests don't exist anymore. Some of them, the tests are repetitive. And some of them really are not necessary. The ones in red, it's the ones that I'm thinking we're already doing. We should only have one to measure English acquisition or English progress. We should only have one for math progress. We should only have one for Spanish progress. We had one, we had, I think, five for English progress. We had like three, I think, for Spanish progress. And so I identified the ones that I think should be the ones that we should be pursuing.
So do I understand that this is an annual assessment that the state board requires? Or is this kind of an internal review?
That was an internal review that the board, the state asked us, not an annual, just a one-time thing, of the goals that you set for yourselves, which one are you pursuing? And so we responded in this way.
Right, and he presents it to.
And I presented it to the board, and I said, this is what I think we should respond. And what do you think? And we all agreed.
Yeah.
I think we've got to be honest with them and tell them this is the ones we're pursuing. If they want us to submit a new proposal to change the charter, then they will let us know.
Did you presented this a year ago, though?
Correct, to this board.
To the board?
To the board, and send it to the state.
Because they were the ones that initiated.
They asked. Yeah, you have this many. They hired some people to look at our charter and said, you have this many goals.
Yeah. Let's see.
Which ones are you really pursuing?
Okay.
And we said, we need to be honest.
Sure.
We have to be honest. This is what we've done.
Okay.
I send it off, and I understand they're hiring someone that will come to us and say, okay, do you want to add any of these ones? Or do you want to go to the state charter board and say, can we pare down the goals that we have, because when we asked for the charter, we asked for too much. Yeah, too ambitious.
Okay, so let's take 30 seconds to figure out where we're at now. So they haven't come back and asked us to reevaluate this.
No.
They may be expecting that, let me ask the question, are they expecting that we will either revise our charter, kind of amend those goals to more accurately reflect what our true focus is? Should we just put this in a closet?
Their information was, once we gather all this from all the charters, we are going to present them to the school charter board. And what they request of us, then we'll tell you what that is.
So
they have not
sit,
come back.
Should we sit tight, do you think?
I think we should sit tight and wait for them to say, oh, by the way, you either have to add all these other goals that you set for yourself, or you have to come back to the board and say, to the charter state board,
right,
and say, we want to focus on these goals only. and then wait and see what they decide.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Anyone have a different view?
I think it's excellent. I also think that Janet's recommendations are pertinent to this, in that if that does happen, it would be Elopio and Juan and probably you, Marty, first, okay, to, before presenting to the board on what kinds of things we would do, either change our charter or not.
Good, good.
And I think we would be smart to drive the boat on this. This is our deal. I mean, I don't care what the state office says. You know, those goals were written a long time ago, wearing a hat of we want to impress the group with how cool we're going to be and how many great goals we're going to have. Now we're in the reality of third year, and we know what we want to make as goals. We don't want a million goals. We want some very specific few goals. And I think it would be smart to take charge of this and say, these are the goals that we want. Whether we submit it to them or not, those are our goals.
Get them ready.
And if they ever, this could be a project that gets lost at the state office, given all the changeover and stuff. Because these are a whole different set of people that came up with this that now work there.
Okay.
So I think we just ought to have our own goals so that we know what we want to assess ourselves on. And if they ever ask for them,
just so you know, some schools have actually taken that document, pared it down, and taken it to the state charter board and said, this is our new us. Will you please confirm that that's us? And the state charter board has said yes.
That was what I was stating. Was before we go to that point, an internal kind of report or something, using what I hear that Janet said. But I don't know, is there specific procedures that have to be done, Steve, before you go to the state and say we're changing our charter?
Yeah. Has to approve by this board first.
If this board says this is what we want as our goals now, then that's what our goals are.
So do you take the charter document, cross out those like you do when you're
I think you just submit a new amended small thing. So these are our goals. You don't have to rewrite.
We realize that less is more.
Correct.
From what I remember, there was a piece of this that we decided to table. It just wasn't time to talk about it because of the new pieces that were coming on. But didn't we decide to create a one-page simple thing that said, this is accountability to the state, this is accountability to the board, and this is accountability to the school, just so everybody knew. But that might be an appropriate thing to talk about in the academic community, just to refresh this now, and then look at some future goals that aren't currently set that the state wouldn't be interested in, but that we would.
See, we now know which tests are required and which ones are just for our information. Before we opened, we had no idea, so we just added.
And I think some of those tests we had don't even exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore, some of them. Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep rolling. That's good feedback. Thank you.
Okay.
The committees. What's that?
For this review, what was it called?
This is the charter fidelity monitoring review. Let's go ahead and go to the director's report.
Okay. I'm just going to.
Do you need the lights on?
No. No, this one is really, really bright, as you will see in a minute, because it might blind you.
I didn't think they made these anymore, those grabadoras.
Well, that's warming up. Let's pull our counter down and determine what our next meeting is going to be.
And the cassette?
That's right, you can make the old stuff.
Well, maybe not a cassette, but like a CD. I have
Which
CDs.
Date is it?
That's a Tuesday.
Tuesday the...
May 25th?
25th.
That's
Are we still sticking to Thursdays?
It's up to you guys. My last class was on Tuesday, so we're okay for a while.
So it's Thursday.
And I know that Shalene cannot meet on Thursdays. If we want to go back to Tuesdays, is okay for now.
As noted in the agendas, let's stick with the 25th, May 25th, unless someone has an alternative suggestion.
May 25th is Thursday.
Oh, that isn't?
Yeah, so May 23rd.
Oh, I was in April, I'm sorry.
Yeah, May 23rd would be a Tuesday.
Should we go for the, and we're on the 4th, right, as opposed to last of the month?
I thought it was the 3rd, wasn't it?
We used to be on the 3rd Tuesday.
Yeah, 3rd Tuesday.
Yeah. 3rd Tuesday.
3rd Tuesday.
Yeah.
Why are we sitting on the fourth? Are we in the fourth Thursday?
We are on the
yes,
fourth
we are.
Thursday.
I wonder why we did that.
We changed because I think part of it was.
Well, you could meet on the third Thursday. You had something happening on the third Thursday of the month.
Blame it on me. Probably true. Well, I'd like, frankly, a little more than 3 weeks to work on some of this stuff.
You're probably right.
I suggest we shoot for the fourth Tuesday of the month. In May, that would be May 23rd. What do you think?
Okay.
Let's do that.
May I ask that to be my one maternity leave?
Yes,
because my due date is 2 weeks. I'm like, I can't make it.
Not make it to there.
I might not. Yeah, hopefully I have her sooner. But.
It's over. Yeah, last Tuesday was the last. Well, a couple of days ago was the last day.
I do have conflicts on Tuesdays.
Okay. Okay.
And Cody also
has on Tuesdays?
Conflict, yeah.
On Tuesdays?
What about Thursdays then? Keeping it on Thursday?
Okay, with Thursday.
Okay.
I'm better with Thursday.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Actually, we have had better attendance on Thursdays.
So we're switching back?
May 25th.
Okay.
Thursday the 25th, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Thursday the 25th.
Okay.
Okay. So... a few things here. Here are the numbers. Enrollment as of today. We're still at 486, which is still 11 students more than we were, our cap. We were 100 people more, but we're still at 486. We are already at 529 enrollment for next year. Mm-hmm. 529. I'm pretty sure that we will be at 515 by August when we start school. We usually lose between 15 and 20 kids during the summer. And so I think we should be fine. And we have, let's see, do we have the next one? We have 237 students on the waiting list at the bottom, as you can see. And we have already taken off the 90 kids that we have in kindergarten. That's why the kindergarten waiting list is now 35. Instead of 100 and some odd that we had. So we have plenty of students. We don't have any worries. In fact, the worry is that at some point we were getting parents upset because we kept, you know, talking about enrollment and you can call this number and it's just to be on the waiting list. And so we even stopped promoting us on the radio and that kind of stuff because we just have too many kids. Questions about enrollment or for next year, waiting list.
Do you think we're going to need a trailer?
No, we have a limit of 525 maximum, and so we have plenty of room in the building for that. Okay, couple of celebrations. Our kids took second place at Weber State University Language Fair.
Wow.
Yes, they really did well, and we only took 9 kids. And so they're really, really exciting to see the kids come back with a trophy. And the teacher was really surprised because this is his first year taking the kids. That's came great. Back and he said, wow. I should have taken more kids because more were prepared to compete. But he only chose 9 kids to go because he took the top of the kids. That's why.
Yeah. Do we have the trophy kids in our
school? Not yet. Not yet. We
That's
will have.
Awesome.
Yeah. We do have several trophies. All the kids that attend the... chess tournaments always come back with a trophy, first, second, third place trophy. So they're.
So what grades were those?
This is the upper grades.
Okay.
I think fifth and sixth is the ones that went to compete. Okay. Yeah, and we can take third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. But again, the teacher didn't know too much about the fair, so he was just wanted to fill it out.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Juan wanted to find out what is the language of instruction. I assigned this duty to someone that was overzealous in completing the task, and this is what he came back with. I am not kidding. It has every teacher with every minute of the day, and that was too much. So I sent another request to the teachers to tell me what language are you using to teach. And as you can see, kinder, they're teaching only 40 minutes in English, and the rest of it, 299 minutes in Spanish. Second grade, 40 minutes in English, plus 40 minutes in science, 300 minutes in Spanish. Third grade, 50 minutes plus 70 minutes in math, and then 255 minutes in language arts, PE, science, social studies, and so on. The other grades are having difficulty because in the afternoon when they have centers, they rely on what the kids need in order to teach in those subjects. Because remember, we said that we, for the first 5 years, they could teach Spanish as a second language in the upper grades. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, well, we kind of do this, and so we're going to get together to figure something out. But at this point, sometimes they teach more English in the afternoon than Spanish, and vice versa. So they're working on determining which language of instruction they're going to use in the afternoon. So the kinder, first and second, and third that's our group that we started with. Third grade was first grade on our first year. And so those kids, we can now stick to the 90-10 model, and the teachers are being very careful that they are. The upper grades, they're increasing. In fact, I believe sixth grade is using more than 50% of the time in Spanish. They're teaching more because of the language, their first language is Spanish for the teachers, both of them. And so they rely on their native language to teach a lot of the subjects. And so we need to kind of, the parents don't want that. The PTO has said, no, just leave them. But we do really have to stick to the 50-50 model, not only Spanish in the upper grades. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be meeting to discuss
of those. For the kindergartners, of the first graders, for the 40 minutes that are in English, are those particular subjects or?
Just English language arts. Okay.
Reading.
Just reading, mostly reading. Yeah. And vocabulary enhancement.
Mm-hmm. That's most important at the state, so that's very important.
Right.
Oh, so that's the ELA.
Right. And just so you know, even though we're teaching mostly in Spanish, our third grade DIPLS data is just astronomically high. Mm-hmm. We're over 66%, I think 68% proficient in the DIPLS test. And we're teaching in Spanish, remember? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. We know the literacy transfers, but when you see it in real life, mm-hmm. I get goosebumps.
So, so the research works.
It does work if we follow the model. So it does. So that's kind of where we are. Teacher observations are just, the people that I bring in, the visitors, they are so impressed with the time, how the teachers are teaching. They're not sitting in the back of the desk. Mm-hmm. And I invite the board to come in and take a look, especially kinder, first, second, and third, because that's our cohort. And you should come and see. Kindergarten is just impressive. Anyone that wants to come and visit our school, we have a lot of requests from the universities. Mm-hmm. I take them to kinder, first, and second because they are really doing wonderful things. And then we have the scores to prove that even though we teach in Spanish, our DIPLS data shows that the kids are learning English. And so,
when's a good time to come?
You know, we protect the morning time, okay. 8:30 to about 11:30 for kinder and first, and then 11:45 for second and so on. That's the morning time that we protected. We discourage field trips. We discourage announcements on the intercom system. We discourage a lot of those things. We concentrate on academic instruction. Mm-hmm. In fact, we discourage computer time during that time. It's academic instruction. And so that time is...
So afternoons is better.
No, morning time. So you can see the instruction. Oh, okay. You can see the teachers actually teaching and the kids... It's amazing. It really is amazing to see the teachers. You know, they work so hard, and you can see it. You can see it. And all the grades, not just the lower grades, but the upper grades, you know, they're still not yet 100% on the 90-10 model. They're working in that direction. But kinder, first, second, and third is something to see. It's really exciting.
Yay.
Yes. Yes. And yes. The testing, I think Juan wanted to find out, you know, when are we doing testing? And right now we're in the middle of testing. We started with kinder DIPLS. No, DIPLS. DIPLS. Okay. We started with DIPLS on, was it Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday, I think. Yeah, Tuesday. We're doing DIPLS this week, and hopefully we'll be done early next week, and then the following week, we have 2 weeks of SAGE testing. And so I really can't wait to see the scores because I am really optimistic. I mean, the kids are showing tremendous progress on the DIBELS, and they're really excited about taking the SAGE action. Some of the kids are like, I'm gonna improve. So it's really 2 weeks, you'll see us kind of...
How old is it before the kids really realize and appreciate and pay attention to their testing and scoring?
I think they start in third grade. They know they're going to take the test, the kids in third grade. And that kinder, first and second, they'll do it because the teacher said. But upper grades, they begin to know that that's important. This is the picture you're talking about. I'm telling you, kids and parents love us putting this on our Facebook page, because if we don't do it the first week, they start calling us. When are you doing the student of the month? And this year we were waiting for a couple of reasons. We had some people out of the office and so on, and I probably got about 50 calls. When are you doing this?
It looks like this sort of a Latin version of Donald Trump with a toupee on.
Hey, I didn't even see that.
That's awesome.
Did you see that? That's pretty interesting. And the other thing that I wanted to share with you is our teacher success. This is just amazing. We started with one certified teacher the first year, if you will recall. Uh-huh. Right now we have 9 on staff that are certified and 3 that just passed all the praxis.
We got them all.
We still have 2 people that are still working on it, and 1 I'm concerned, but 3 people, and 1 is an international teacher that has been here for less than 3 years. Oh. He passed all the praxis tests, including the English language arts. And we were really concerned about that. So,
good.
I mean, we will have, if everything works out the way I'm planning, and nobody leaves at the last second, we will have 15 teachers with a license at the beginning of August. 15. So that's just tremendous. That's tremendous. And so, they're not only licensed, but they are skilled educators.
So the beauty of this is that our school is not just empowering our students, it's empowering our educators. Mm-hmm. And that skill they have, should they have to move for any reason, they all take with them with credentialing. That's just...
Mm-hmm. You can't take that away.
Yeah, you can't take away the license. The teachers are really appreciative. They, I know Eddie, you know Eddie. Eddie is one that came with very little English. I don't know if you recall, we interviewed him, and he could not answer some of the questions. He said, I'm sorry, we have to speak Spanish. And so we transitioned to Spanish and came, and he worked so hard. And now he is helping the other teachers. He's meeting with them after school. He's sharing the study guides that he purchased, and he's helping his colleagues work on the other. And we have 2 teachers that are just a breath away. One is a newer teacher. He came in the second year, 6th grade teacher. And then Luisa, who is just 2 points away in math. And Ceja is 1 point away in math. And so they should be.
Are they wearing out, or they got a little energy left to keep getting there?
I think Ceja he's got another year. Luisa is a little nervous because this is her 3rd year that is ending. So she either has to get an ARL because she has no more authorization, letters of authorization. There's only 2. So that's the only one. She's a little nervous, but she's only 1 or 2 points away. So. Okay. And so we celebrated.
Are there any study helps that could?
Yeah, there's actually a tutor that charges $40 an hour that one of our other teachers hired, and he guarantees that they'll pass. And so.
How many hours would she need?
Probably 10. 10 hours before she takes it. And so that's what the tutor recommends.
Well, the test, the study test that they sell, is pretty similar.
Yeah, so, very similar to the real test. But I think in a couple of cases, it's not knowledge level. It's nervousness. It's anxiety.
It's time as well. So yeah. When I took it, I know how to do it. It's just the time.
Yeah, the time. Sometimes people need a little more time. But those teachers that are second language learners, they can extend the time, I think 30 minutes, if English is your second language. So and she has done it a couple of times, but I think it's anxiety because she passes those practice tests. And then when she gets to the real test...
Maybe she should take a relaxation.
No, she needs to just meditate. Take a pill before she goes in. Oh, take that, what is it called? Just take a half of it, and then she'll be in totally relaxed. That's what she...
But she's really working hard.
I get, my neighbor's a veterinarian. I'll see if I can get a horse
track. Well, that's a little too strong.
Yeah, too strong.
What about Ms. Constantine? Was she still on letters? Or is she...
This is her last one, too. And she's one that has not passed. So we're working with her and hoping. It was, I don't know if you know, it used to be Secretary's Day. They now call it Administrative Professionals Week. And so the PTO was wonderful. They brought in flowers for Paula and Crystal, and we gave them a little card for a restaurant, so we took care of them nicely. This was actually left over from last time. I had forgotten that we talked about it last time. This is the Spring Festival coming up. It's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we would love to have all of the board there if you can. Friday, maybe.
I love those things. I am going to be out of town.
And we have a special presentation this time. So at the very end of the program. So we'd love to have you there.
What time?
The doors open at 5:30. The program starts at 6.
At 6.
And we have 67 minutes programmed. If everything goes well, we'll be done on time. We have it until 7:30.
Granger High,
right? Huh?
Granger High.
Granger High School. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we have kindergarten and 6th grade promotions on Thursday, May 25th. Kinder goes at 9 a.m. And when does 6th grade?
11.
11, that's right. 11.
Is that graduation?
Yeah, we call it promotion. But it's a graduation for those children. That's it?
Cool.
Well, thank you. Good news is we're not wildly past 7 o'clock. Let's just go around the table real quick. Deborah, anything that we missed?
No, unless you want just a small report on what the PTO will about. So we're still in the middle of the sale of the chocolate sales, still trying to get everybody, all the parents to bring in, I mean the students to bring in their boxes. It takes there's a deadline, and it was the 21st of April, but it takes another 3 weeks
to everybody.
So, but according to Shalene, we have still 150 boxes left to sell. So if anybody wants to pick up a box and take it to work, anyway, I don't know if we're supposed to sell all of them or not.
What does the box cost?
It's $60 for a box. Yeah.
There's 60 little candy bars.
60 candy bars.
And what else? It's Teach Appreciation Week next week. So PTO is gonna. Provide breakfast and lunch, and I think Needers is gonna help cater breakfast and lunch, and also one of the days they're gonna just donate cookies for free.
Oh.
They're gonna come in, and they're gonna do that too for promotion day. They're gonna come in and for the kindergarten and sixth graders, just give out some.
Are they a partner with us now? I
don't.
We've got some connections now. We're developing some connections around here, so yes.
Good.
And then we have, what else? Field Day on the 26th, and that's always a very exciting day. I don't know, are we planning to do we're having the fire trucks?
I don't know. They're planning it, so.
Oh, okay, they're planning it. Yeah. Okay, so we're still, Field Day is the 26th.
The principal dunked in the tank?
That's
the
day.
Oh, yeah, that's the day.
Yeah.
Mark that on your calendar.
And the kids told me, they requested that I should still be in a tie. Because last time I got sweats,
did.
I changed into sweats, and I went out and was like,
oh,
that's no fun. I wanted to dunk you. Okay, I'll bring my suit this time, and I'll be sitting on the dunk machine with my suit on. So
and then I think that's, that's pretty much, that's all I have.
Great.
Field Day on the 26th. That's always a fun day. I hope the weather by then, it's a month from now, so hopefully it'll be.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks, Deborah. Thanks for all you guys do.
Yeah.
Much appreciated. Angela, anything?
No. Thank you.
Best of luck to you.
Thanks.
Steve, covered? You good? Jessica?
Covered.
Okay, thanks, everybody. We stand adjourned until next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Corey, are you keeping the conflict of interest forms? Are you keeping them? Who's keeping them?
Yep, I scanned them, and I'll just give you original back to Juan.
Awesome, awesome. That's Angela. So. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And wish us luck starting on May the 8th.
Yeah,
really.
Connections to the guy upstairs.
Yeah.
Communicate with him.
What? There's a second
what?
Floor?
Just kidding.
Which guy upstairs are you
like? I know. I know what you mean.
What is the time, the schedule on field day?
You know what? I'll have to send it to you because
yeah,
there's
I'm
a lot of
sure,
stuff happening.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think it's most of the day.
It's all day.
Most of the day.
It's all day.
I don't know if it starts at 10. I don't think they start, it's like 10 till...
Yeah.
What time would a person need to get here to see Yoko get done?
About 11.
About 11.
About 11. I have to get the sweats to change into after, according to the kids.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Janet.
Can you help carry this stuff
Oops. Who are the? Oh, those are the extra. Conflict of interest. We just got some extra, so.
Actually, if I have a blank book, I was going to scan in a blank book so that nobody, so we didn't have to do that anymore. You just download it.
That's right.
But I didn't have a little.
And I'll see you next Thursday, right?
Hey, thanks for your
Senor Alejandro?
Not a problem.
We're still.
The greatest place on the planet.
We love our place, as we really do.
So for sure next Thursday then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
You know what I think is going to be sad is one day when they build a big giant building out front of it in this field, you can't see the school.
I know.
I hope that never happens.
But I thought it was going to be another school.
The junior high? Parents.
That's a great idea.